Well, today we have the passage from St. Luke chapter 11, beginning about verse 29, about the sign of Jonah. It's a very interesting passage. We see the Lord here is preaching to the crowds, and he calls that generation an evil generation because they would not accept the Lord's words, his message. They wanted a heavenly sign. They said, "Give us some sign from heaven that we will believe you." Of course, the Lord had already worked dozens of miracles, maybe hundreds of miracles. He'd already cured the blind and the deaf and the lame and the crippled. He would raise people from the dead. But their hearts were so hardened that they would not accept these things. They said they wanted some heavenly sign. And the Lord says, this is an evil generation. It seeks a sign. It says, no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. What is this, the sign of Jonah? Well, most of the fathers of the church and scholars say that the sign of Jonah is two things. It's the Lord's call to repentance, that he's coming to bring judgment upon the people unless they repent. And secondly, it's the sign of his resurrection. And so how do we look at Jesus being the new Jonah? Well, of course, we saw in our first reading today that Jonah was sent by God to the great city of Nineveh. This was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. It was a huge city, a pagan city, known for its immorality, known for its very warlike qualities. And yet God sent Jonah, and it took him 3 days to walk through the city. And as he went along, he told everybody that Lent was starting, right? 40 days. You have 40 days of prayer and penance. Because afterwards, it says God will destroy the city. And it says the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed the words of Jonah, which is pretty amazing. These were pagans. And yet, it says they proclaimed a fast, great and small. They all put on sackcloth from the king all the way down to the lowest peasant. Even had all the animals stop eating and stop drinking and showing repentance. They covered themselves with sackcloth and ashes. And it says here that everyone turned from their evil ways. And it says because of that, God, it says, relented and forgave them. He withheld his blazing wrath, and they did not perish. God saw by their action they had turned from their evil ways, and he did not carry out the evil he had threatened upon the city. So now we have the Lord as the new Jonah coming to the people of the current generation, preaching repentance, just like John the Baptist did, preaching conversion. Some of the people did accept it. Those were the apostles and a handful of others. But largely, most of the people just went about their life, went about their business, and did not repent. So the Lord is saying that there is something greater than Jonah here. And then we have the Lord saying that because of that, that generation would be condemned. The pagan empire, the capital of Assyria, converted when Jonah went. But Jesus says, I am greater than Jonah. Of course, Jesus is the Son of God, and he's calling people to conversion and repentance. And largely, Jesus was ignored. So he said, they will be judged much more harshly than the people of Nineveh, of course, who repented and converted. And then the Lord, well, then the second way, of course, that the Lord is like Jonah is because of the resurrection. The sign of Jonah is the sign of the resurrection. Jonah, as you know, was originally disobedient. He wanted to run away. He was swallowed by the big fish. Some people call it a whale. The Bible calls it a big fish. And for 3 days, it seemed that he was dead. And he represents, it foreshadows Jesus, who died, was placed in the tomb for 3 days, and then was raised up. So Jonah came forth from the big fish. Jesus came forth from the tomb. So that's how Jesus is the new Jonah. I remember the little story Bishop Sheen was preaching about this once at the University of Southern California, and a heckler from the back of the room says, "Oh, I don't believe it. How could Jonah be in the whale for 3 days?" And Bishop Sheen says, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask him." And the heckler says, what if he's not there? Then Bishop Sheen says, well, then you'll be able to ask him. So Jesus is the new Jonah because he preached repentance and he'll bring judgment on those who do not repent. And secondly, because of the resurrection, Jonah coming forth after 3 days, Jesus rising from the dead after 3 days. And then lastly, we see Jesus calls himself the new Solomon, the new Solomon. He says the queen of the south, who was, of course, the queen of Sheba from Arabia, had traveled thousands of miles to visit King Solomon to sit at his feet to learn wisdom. But Jesus says, you have a greater than Solomon here. Yes, Solomon was the wisest man, but Jesus is incarnate wisdom. He is the eternal wisdom that it became flesh. EWTN, right? Eternal Wisdom Television Network. Jesus is the eternal wisdom who became incarnate wisdom. So yes, Solomon was wise. Jesus is wisdom himself. And so Jesus says that the queen of Sheba will condemn this generation because she traveled from the ends of the earth to sit at Solomon's feet, and yet you have someone greater than Solomon here, and yet largely the people did not listen to Christ or follow him or accept him. That's why Jesus says the men of Nineveh will condemn the current generation because they believed and the current generation did not. The queen of Sheba will condemn the current generation because she accepted the wisdom of Solomon, but largely they were rejecting the wisdom of someone even greater, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this is how we understand this passage, and it is this sign of Jonah. And one last thought, I think the Shroud of Turin is our modern day sign of Jonah. Those of you who have studied the Shroud know that more and more scientific evidence is coming out in support of the Shroud. Even recently, many of the scientists have discovered that the piece of cloth that was used in the carbon dating was part of a rewoven part of the cloth, that it had been a patch that the sisters, the nuns, had repatched the shroud with. So that's why it was carbon dated to the 1200s rather than to the year of Christ. So many scientists, since the carbon dating has now been thrown out as erroneous, now all the scientific evidence is in support of the authenticity of the shroud. And I read an article once that called the Shroud of Turin our modern-day sign of Jonah, because the sign of Jonah is the resurrection, and the Shroud of Turin is our greatest scientific proof and evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ.